It's worse than a circus, at least right now.
That's why people don't like clowns. But I always say, invite enough clowns and you'll get a circus.
Yes. Or you end up getting one of the clowns from Stephen King's It. Hey, little boy, why don't you come down into the sewer? Oh, that's something to think about. You know, actually, considering that the Alouettes are quite crappy up here, I may have a better time down there with you.
I love you, Mr. Clown. Can you say touchdown?
You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff. Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
And welcome to Alouette's Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football, sponsored by Bad Monkey Popcorn. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Hey.
Hey.
So you stayed for the entire game, right?
By the grace of God, I did. Despite the fact that it was getting nippier and nippier.
It was crazy. It was like, is this August, late August weather? It's like, no, this feels like October weather.
Yeah, like I know we Canadian people are supposed to be a hardy bunch and can endure any weather conditions, but my word, like it's still summer. It's still August for crying out loud.
I know.
The very last day of August, mind you, but still, August is summer. Summer is warm. This was cold. I don't like cold in August. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. October, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for October football weather. Mm-hmm. Love that. I'm ready for that, but not in the summer. Give me a break, Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well, you know
why
what?
Why you got to be like that?
Yeah. Well. Speaking of cold, the game versus Ottawa. It was pretty fitting.
Oh. Cold doesn't beat like that's like frigid like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything, you know, it's bad. You know, for me, I'm sorry. I am an Alouettes fan. I can bitch with the best of them on Twitter and stuff like that and just let them I will rip them. But, you know, the score, I left just after the 3-minute warning. I said, screw it. With a combination of Al Bradbury, the penalties calling, the stuff that didn't happen, let's see, Darian Durant throwing in a triple coverage. Ineptness on offense. Brandon Whitaker, you idiot. That's not bad. Tyrell Sutton rushing for the same number of yards as the Alouettes score points. And my snarkiness on Twitter. Holy crap.
I know. Here's a fun new segment. Tim Capper, mean tweets. Let's see. Hey, Al's MTL. I made the effort to show up for the game. I'd appreciate if you'd do the same. Hashtag CFL. Hashtag money not well spent.
Yes.
Here's another one. I don't know what's worse tonight. The Montreal Alouettes offense or the officials. Hashtag who paid off the refs. Hashtag fire Bradbury.
I think that actually got going by a few fans.
Oh, and let's see. Look on the bright side. There's always next season, or the next, or the next, or ... another gem. Who throws into triple coverage? Oh, wait, Durant.
Yes.
Yeah, no, these are some mean tweets.
My friend was reading them, my friend who sits next to me, Chris, and I'm like, this is the only way I was having fun.
You know, yeah, because Lord knows we weren't there for any offense because, once again, the offense was non-existent in this game.
Yes, yes. Nothing like another game, where the Alouettes offense literally falls in their face.
Oh,
again, you know, at least with the Toronto game, and I know I feel bad for you because you were there. You know, at least I could stop it when it was 28-0 and then just delete the damn tape. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I'm there hoping to see something half decent, and no.
In fact, I still talked about it in the alternative. Was this past Thursday's loss worse than that 38-6 beatdown, essentially, in Toronto? And I'm at a loss. I don't know which one is worse, because technically a touchdown was scored by the Alouettes in the game against Toronto.
But it was pick six, though. Yeah,
it wasn't offensive. You're absolutely right, but. The only points that came this past Thursday for Montreal was a rouge and a field goal. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
The defense barely showed up. The offense, as I said, was non-existent. Special teams. I mean, thank God for Boris Bédée, I guess.
The Owls went into the game, you know, hoping to get something done. But, you know it's bad when they get beat by beat by penalties. They lost to the penalties that night, 11-4 or 12-4.
And did I not say last week that this team has to stay disciplined against Ottawa?
Yes.
Because Ottawa doesn't need you to get a whole bunch of penalties. They can beat you any number of ways. Like, just as I said, you got to keep a man on Greg Ellingson. You got to keep a man on Brad Sinopoli. And those two guys just had a field day. Like, they were running all over the field like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. And they're just clowning, straight up clowning this secondary, which is supposed to be so good, and I still believe it has the potential to be, but these kids, they got their lunch eaten for them by the buds, as they like to be called.
Yeah, and it's ever since Ellingson has come to play for the Red Blacks from the Arena League, he's done great things. I'm just trying to, you know, we didn't even talk about the game ball because there really was no game ball to give out this week. I mean, I couldn't think of one. I mean, you know, it started off, you know, looked like another low scoring first half, and then the infamous play where, for some reason, the refs missed the challenge by Coach Campbell late in the first quarter or mid first quarter. You know, he's there. He is in it because we didn't see it, so we didn't see him running down. So, and they run off another play, and we think it's third down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked very Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I mean,
but he did. He was running down the sideline. I mean, we went back and watched the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, Al Bradbury takes a lot of heat, and it always seems to be against Montreal that these terrible games seem to happen. So I don't know if it's hard. I want to believe that there are no biases or anything like that in the Canadian Football League. But man, I tell you, like, some of these games, it really, really looks like he's going against the Alouettes.
Well, and you haven't seen his pregame notes when it comes to the Alouettes. they were accidentally leaked. They were leaked by CFL Leakipedia, and, in big, bold Sharpie, it says, throw as many flags as you want against the Owls. and below it, it says, Red Blacks who? Question mark. Or opponent who? CFL Leakipedia. I need to go register that domain. CFL Leakipedia.
Well, I'm sure it's not a coincidence that the referees were just happened to be wearing red, black, and white uniforms.
I noticed that,
right?
Too. Yeah, you're the second person who pointed that out to me.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was nice having a Labor Day game on a Thursday. Sorry, a Labor Day weekend game on a Thursday. That pissed me off, too.
Yep.
Because we have so much more to talk about this week besides, you know, we could talk about. So let's talk about this, too.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, 18,000 people, once again, quote-unquote, filling the stadium. Hey,
I'd rather have 18. You know, these days, I'm happy if we get over 18.
But again, this is a terrible thing to aspire to. And I really hope that this comes. You don't need to do a stupid survey with your ticket base that you're just going to ignore anyways to figure out that.
Let's hope not.
Again, numbers don't lie, right? So 18,000 people. If you're happy with those numbers, well, guess what? That's exactly what you're going to get. And in fact, it'll even get lower, especially if this team doesn't start winning.
Well,
and
I see what you're saying, but you look at, you know, we've been worse. You know, remember this all started off, you know, way back when, '97, of the first playoff game that had to be moved because of U2, and we only drew 15. We've drawn, remember, recently we drew the last home game that we had, a playoff home game at Molson. We only drew 15. So, you know, I'd rather have 18 than 15, but yes, I know this place holds, what does this place hold now? 22? Whatever it holds now? 24, 23, since they removed some of the seats for the fan zone. You and I have talked about this. We would love it to be sold out. I would love it to be sold out. It's funny. I came across a tweet recently that I had in my timeline on Facebook where it was the 100th quote-unquote sellout in a row, which it wasn't, obviously, as we found out later. Yes.
Those magic numbers that just manufactured.
You know that seat next to me that was empty? It was considered full. You know, I've talked, you and I have both talked to a few people within the Alouettes organization when it comes to attendance. You know, it's there are people in the seats. They are there watching the game. We know how much trouble that the team seems to be doing when it comes to selling tickets, and it's whether it's because of millennials and whatnot, because they buy tickets at a game time. You know, it's not like you and I. You know, where we have the ability to buy these tickets earlier than when we want to, because we know we want to go.
Hmm.
You know, so it could be worse. You know, it even though the team has done so poorly, they have consistently had their fan base though. But I think if they can change it, get rid of some of the Thursday games, have a maximum two, I'd be happy with a maximum two. Other than that, I don't care.
Yeah, I've said the same thing. Like, I'm actually not 100% opposed to the season opener being on the Thursday night. If this Thursday night football thing is really so important to the league, then fine. I'd be willing to at least do that, because at least usually it's around the Saint Jean Baptiste holiday anyways, where you could sort of, you know, finagle a day off and kind of make a really long weekend out of it. Yeah. I can sort of get behind that date. But
and I know both know for Quebec, you need to push. It can't be the weekend of Saint-Jean. And that's what they did this year, even though it was a day before it, mm-hmm. you know, because it fell on a weekend. Makes me wonder if the Owls should always be on the road in week one, unless they push the season back earlier in July, early mm-hmm. in June.
In June, yeah. But again, I'm not 100% opposed to that date being a Thursday game. But any other, like, and again, 5 out of 10 games, including your preseason games. Preseason is a joke to have your preseason game on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. especially even if it's being televised. I mean, again, I've wasted enough breath on this. I just hope one day this organization wakes up and realizes just how awful they are when it comes to planning out these sort of things, because it's such a bad look. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
When you got more Red Blacks fans attending the game.
Well, they travel well. The problem is with the Alouettes things is look what they've done this year. What, you don't do a fan trip on a Wednesday?
Yeah, fan trip on a Wednesday, or you pull a bait and switch on the people that take the fan plane, promising that you'll be flying back with the players, and no, you won't. Haha, suckers. Again, my heart goes out to anyone who actually shelled out. Not only did they go and watch an absolutely ugly football game in Toronto, but then you only had like a quick meet and greet at the airport with the players. What kind of nonsense is that? That's terrible. Like, if you're going to sell...
And they wasted two jets. Why waste fuel for two jets?
Yeah, this was... again, I always am astounded at just how this team manages to fall upwards. It's remarkable. I don't know.
No, it's... Now, some other thing... Yes, we're going to get to the game eventually, what there was of it. Some things that came out, and we heard this week, you know, the 3-on-3 with Joey Alfieri and John Liu. They were talking about their, you know, on the Daily segment last week. You know, Joey was saying that this was one of the best weeks that they've ever had at practice. And that wasn't from Joey. That was from the team itself.
That was Darian Durant who said that.
And you wanted to make a comment on that, because it just seems that you make a comment or something like that, and then you get this garbage, what happened this week.
and I actually think I ranted about this last year here on the Alouettes flight deck, is there's nothing more aggravating to listen to than someone on the team saying, we had a good week at practice. Well, we didn't buy tickets for practice. Why? I don't want to hear you had a good week at practice. I could care less that you had a good week at practice. Good week at practice doesn't mean jack squat. I'm not paying $50, $60, $80 a ticket to watch you put up four lousy points against a middling at best football team that is all of a sudden the quote-unquote class of the Eastern Division, whatever the hell that means.
Right.
A good week at practice? That's wonderful. I'm so happy you had a good week at practice. I don't care. I'd rather you have a lousy week at practice and play a halfway decent football game. I don't think that's too much to ask for. You want this? You want people to invest in this team? You want people to buy into what you're selling? Then enough of these dopey-ass comments of, we had a good week at practice. I don't care. I officially 100% don't care if you had a good week of practice. In fact, I wish nothing but lousy days of practice for you. If that's what it's going to take,
yeah.
Because if a good week of practice means a sorry-ass, half-hearted attempt at football when on the one day of the week that you're expected to play professionally and play somewhat well because you're getting paid to do it, yeah, that, I don't want you having good weeks at practice if that's the case. Please don't. Or you know what? If you had a good week at practice, that's fine. I don't want to hear about it. It's insulting. It's insulting to anyone who actually cares about this football team. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but those numbers are starting to dwindle. Why? Because they're not flocking to practice to watch you guys have a great week at practice.
Yeah, they actually practiced outside yesterday on Labor Day, right? Didn't they practice outside?
Yes, they did. And that's wonderful. It means they don't have to play in that ridiculous cavern that's known as Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
Fresh air, sunshine. Woo, wonderful. That's great.
Don't have to check through security.
No, you don't have to do this whole song and dance just to watch a bunch of guys have a quote-unquote great week of practice. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, every time I hear those words, and I thankfully hadn't heard them for a long time. Mm-hmm. In fact, a little over a year since we last talked about it on the podcast. But as soon as – and I knew that was the kiss of death right there. As soon as I heard – someone talk about the fact that Darian Durant said, well, we had a great good week at practice. I thought, oh, we are done. there's no way we're winning this game. If we had a good week at practice, yeah, we're done. We're finished. Yeah. Game over. Like, but don't even bother playing at this point. And you know what? I think Yellowwoods took that to heart. 4 points.
Yeah. The Owls have, I think TSN put up a stat where it showed that the Alouettes are one of two teams this year that have scored less than 10, was it in single digits? The lowest scoring games this year, the Owls have two of them. Obviously, Hamilton has the topper this year and only scoring a single point. Speaking of, and we'll get to the game here. What do you think about the reaction from the crowd? And I heard it on the broadcast afterwards because I watched a little bit of it after the Alouettes scored their very first point on that Rouge. What a reaction! What a sarcastic reaction from the crowd after they scored that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's how frustrating it is.
It is.
I mean, this Alouettes team has gone 3-7 the past three out of the last 5 years. We are coming upon a point where we are starting to rival the 82-83 Montreal Concords.
Concords.
And if you wanted to throw in a team, you could throw in the 81 Owls.
Yeah, and TSN 690 even managed to compare the quarterback carousel that the Montreal Alouettes have had to the Cleveland Browns. If anyone is comparing your football team to the Cleveland Browns in any way, shape, or form, your football team's in trouble. Big trouble. I mean, this is...
Yeah, 14 quarterbacks since AC, yep. Since AC retired?
Since AC retired, 14 men have taken a snap under center for the Alouettes. Scary stuff, man.
Yeah, I don't have it. I was on Twitter too, and I don't have that. Don't have that thing in front of me. But yeah, it's bad.
And what bothers me the most is you see the same things happening over and over again. And as I've said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results every single time. And that's what Jacques Chapdelaine and his Sad Sack coaching staff have become absolutely insane. It's the same crap over and over again. You have no run game. You've got a great running back, two great running backs in Tyrell Sutton and Brandon Rutley, who could do amazing things, but you'd rather, when given the side, given their six carries, have them run off tackle, which, by the way, every defensive line in the CFL has caught on by now that you're going to do that. Just FYI. And throwing the ball to Sam Jaeger, who couldn't catch a cold, is ridiculous. 2 weeks in a row now, he has dropped a surefire touchdown. Why? Because the guy's got hands like feet. But no, let's ignore Tequan Underwood. Let's put Ernest Jackson in triple coverage, and then you wonder why Durant gets picked off. B.J. Cunningham is going to die on the vine on this football team, and that's a damn shame because he is such an exciting young player. The best years of his life are being wasted at this moment. Ernest Jackson, I'll give Derek Taylor from SportsCenter credit. He actually had a great tweet about this, about the fact that the Alouettes have done an amazing job of making Ernest Jackson an afterthought.
Yeah.
A guy who was a Grey Cup champion who hadn't dropped a single pass last season is a nobody in Montreal, is an afterthought. Not even that. But no, let's focus our attack on Sam Jaeger, who was injured throughout the season and clearly is not the player that he was. Yet let's keep putting him out there over and over again because he's bound to catch one sooner or later, right? No, he's not. I'm sorry. It's a failure. It's an abject failure having this guy in the lineup when you've got so many talented receivers. And if you've got to wiggle and jiggle the ratio around, find a way to make it work. If you are this great, brilliant organization with all these geniuses at the helm and you can't figure it out, that you have no choice but to put Jaeger in the lineup, that's very telling. That's really troublesome because you're leaving some very talented players off on the sidelines chewing gum, for Christ's sake. It's sad. It's sad more than anything else. I mean, if you put some of these guys on other teams, they'd be flourishing. Oh, you know what? The Alouettes did put great receivers on other teams. Jay Green. Sorry. A little tickled my throat.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's fall season and allergies and all that stuff.
And you do.
Okay, Stafford. Sorry. Deron Carter. Well, sorry.
It's okay. Wow. I feel bad for you because you do sound a little double blue when you talk, you know, when you have those allergies of yours. And it's a little bit hard when you're coughing up, you know, green and white. But I really feel for you. I really do. People have these player allergies. They're horrible. They're horrible.
You need to get some Robitussin up in here.
Get the Robitussin to the team doctor.
Oh, team doctor. Yes, let's talk about team doctors. The ones who decided that SJ Green was too hurt and you should get rid of him and get whatever you can for him. And again, I'm not going to fault the draft picks that we got for him. That's not their fault that they were drafted where they were. But the fact that you let SJ Green walk for a song, and guess what? He's now a 1,000-yard receiver. You know who saw that coming? Everyone. Except anyone who just happens to be employed by the Montreal Alouettes Football Club. How's about that? Who didn't see that coming?
How do you like how do you like them apples?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go with that.
Circling the drain, just like our chances of actually doing something worthwhile this season.
Well, they have, I mean, yes, we still have eight games left. I mean, anything can happen. But the problem is when you have lost the season series already to Toronto, you've lost the season series already to Ottawa. It's, you know, and those are the two teams that are currently ahead in the Week East.
Mm-hmm. And now Hamilton finally has found their winning ways, maybe. I mean, we got to play Hamilton twice. And is it sad that I want to believe that we can still beat Hamilton at least once, but that I'm not 100% sure, that I'm not willing to put a single dime on that. That's kind of telling, isn't it? That should scare the crap out of you if you're a member of this organization. When your most loyal supporters and believers don't have enough faith to think that you can at least get one out of two from now what, 1-8 team, 1-9 team? I'd say that's pretty telling, quite frankly. I mean, what do I know? I'm just some clown with a blog, right? But yeah. You know, I take a look at the schedule that's coming up, and I am literally hard pressed. The way things are going right now, I am literally hard pressed to think, where can we get a victory? Like I said, we do play Hamilton twice, so I have to truly believe the Alouettes might be able to win at least one of those games. After that, where's another victory going to come from? I mean, Toronto really looked bad this past Monday against the Tiger Cats. I mean, they nearly won still. I mean, again, just a very shaky team right now. Aside from that, I mean, you're going to go to Calgary, which is like a guaranteed loss. The Alouettes are playing this Friday in BC, which is also pretty much a guaranteed loss.
Yep.
The way that Saskatchewan's rolling right now, I don't see Darian Durant making his triumphant return to Saskatchewan and walking out of there with a W. I just don't see that happening. Really, truly, like, I mean, the list goes on and on, but I don't know. I'm just hard-pressed to think of where Montreal can pick up two wins. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I know things can change in a heartbeat in the CFL, and that's what makes it so wonderful. But if things stay the way they are right now, if they stay the course of ineptitude right now that they seem to be on, then, yeah, I honestly don't see another victory coming until 2018.
Ouch.
Prove me wrong. Again, I would love more.
I'm trying to think, too. I mean, they've got to start doing something. You know, stop saying that Darian Durant is a known slow starter. You know, I mean,
I think we figured that out at 3-7.
Yeah. Well, the last quarterbacks, I said, over the last 3 to 5 years, three out of the last 5 years have been 3-7. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's only so much that you can blow up this team.
Oh, and that's the thing. This team doesn't really need blowing up. It just needs improvement. You put people in place that clearly don't belong. So you need to put better people in place. And don't tell me that you can't afford good coaching, because you've been paying people to not coach this team for years. I really hope Dan Hawkins' contract is finished now. I hope Tom Higgins has gotten all of his money for his middling at best efforts. There's no salary cap on coaches the last time I checked. So if you're going to break the bank on anybody in this team, don't shoot your wad on a Darian Durant or a Sam Jagr or any of these other clowns.
Hawkins.
We already have one Hawkins on the team who's actually pretty good. Yeah, it would be Travis Hawkins, who's unfortunately on the 6-game list. But this team, this Alouettes team, truly needs a real honest-to-goodness offensive coordinator. Not some jabroni who couldn't hack it in the NFL. Not some has-been. Not some retired quarterback that we have to keep happy. Oh, sorry. No. We need someone, a true offensive genius. I know that Jacques Chapdelaine sold this team a bill of goods to convince them that he could be this offensive genius, but guess what? He's been found out. Well, now, if you really have to keep Jacques Chapdelaine as your head coach to prop up the whole bilingual thing, which, again, I don't buy into that either. But if that's truly the case, fine. I'll play along for a little bit. Lord knows I played along this long. What's another year and a half of this potential charade? But my God, there's got to be someone out there with CFL experience that could take this offense, that takes all these great potential weapons that we have, and can actually do something with them other than the same stupid-ass plays that we've been running for 3 years now that aren't working. I have to believe that there's someone out there that's just looking for an opportunity to prove that they belong, that they can be a great coach. There has to be someone out there for that.
Well, it's funny because you know all the things that the Alouettes have done over the offseason, and even Danny Machocha was on TSN 690 this past week, and he was very cordial in how he talked about the team, and he said. He thought the team would be doing a lot better than what it currently is. When you have Danny Machocha saying that.
Well, and listen, I mean, Danny Machocha is a very polarizing figure when it comes to Montreal football. I mean, a lot of people are still convinced that he could have been the answer. I'm still going to say that people weren't going to buy his season tickets because of who is in the general manager's seat, or in what Machocha's case was supposed to be, apparently, is the president of this team.
Yeah,
I don't see people flocking to buy season tickets of who the Alouettes president is.
I'm glad they went with Boivin. He's a rookie. rookie president, and I'm looking forward to what he's going to do. But it's that you're talking about having choices, and we talked about this off air. There, what if we had kept and actually paid Jeff Garcia to stay on?
Well, and again, what did Jeff Garcia do when he was with the Alouettes?
He could have been an OC, maybe. I mean, look who Calgary's new head coach currently is. Former quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Former OC.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Someone who understands quarterbacks, too. And what did Jeff Garcia do when he was with the Alouettes? Oh, I don't know. Take a 1-7 team and bring them to within one game of the Grey Cup?
Yep.
With... And again, I'm not putting them down by any stretch.
With Jonathan Crompton.
Jonathan Crompton and Tanner Marsh. Two guys that, again, I say this with no disrespect involved. They're not Bo Levi Mitchell. They're not Mike Riley.
But the Owls did go on one of their longest winning streaks since AC left. They won 7 straight.
They did. And a lot of those wins were ugly wins. There's no question about that. But you know what? Ugly wins count just as much in the standings. There's no style points in the Canadian Football League, folks. A win's a win. And I really want to say it was because Jeff Garcia, he's a real quarterback whisperer, not like Mark Trestman, who just extends the life of older quarterbacks. I think that's been made clear now. I think everybody's on board with that now. But Jeff Garcia manages to take regular quarterbacks and make them very good quarterbacks. That's what he did in 2014 with Crompton and with Marsh.
Right.
And once Jeff Garcia left, now, mind you, this was because injuries played a big factor in this. But unfortunately, Crompton and Marsh were never quite the same after Garcia left. Now, imagine if Garcia had stuck around and was given not just quarterbacks coach, but also the title of offensive coordinator. I dare say that this team would have been a whole different story. Now, I know he had head coaching aspirations on his mind. I can appreciate that. But I think if you really put a nice package together for him and made it clear, like, okay, show us your worth as an offensive coordinator. Let's see what you do if you can design an offense that can take advantage of the weapons that you have in front of you, with the idea that, well, we're certainly not going to promote Norrell Thorpe as head coach, even though he's more than deserving of it. No, let's see what could maybe Jeff Garcia have been head coach of the Alouettes. Maybe. But, I mean, you got to walk before you run, right? So just like Thorpe was given a chance to prove that if he can turn a defense around and make them a powerhouse, people are going to start talking. And I guarantee people would have been talking about Jeff Garcia as well. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of extenuating circumstances as to why Garcia didn't want to stay put. But I dare say if you offered him the right money, the right incentive, the right chance to possibly be a head coach, because at the end of the day, that's all you want as a coach is to eventually lead your own team. I dare say things would be a lot different as opposed to what we've had to put up with in the past couple of years.
I think it's fair. It's a fair assessment.
Hey, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, nobody else is knocking down the door to get Jeff Garcia as a coach of any sort, whether it's in the NFL or CFL, which is a damn shame as far as I'm concerned. I mean, his quarterback academy has produced some real outstanding weapons, including one Bo Levi Mitchell, who can definitely attest to how great of a coach Garcia is. And once again, I'll, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, that second half of 2014, take a look at what he did. It was nothing short of incredible. And I have no doubt in my mind that Jeff Garcia could have easily done that for any team in the CFL or the NFL for that matter. All he needed was a chance. And I thought he was given a great chance with Montreal to do what he did with the quarterbacks there. And did, as far as I'm concerned, a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So the fact that all of a sudden he's like persona non grata in both leagues is baffling to me, quite frankly. And I don't know. I honestly think if you were to pick up the phone right now, KVS3 were to pick up the phone right now and say, "Yo, Jeff, what you did in 2014, you think you can come do it here?" And even if he couldn't take this 3-17 team and lead them to the promised land like he almost did, just a vast improvement, maybe just enough to give Darian Durant's head a shake and say, "Hey, listen, you're Darian Durant. Get your act together now."
Yeah.
Or you know what? If Durant is truly the damaged goods that people are seemingly making him out to be, and for no lack of a better term, Durant himself seems to be making himself out to be, could you do something with Drew Willie? Because I don't see what Anthony Calvillo is doing with Drew Willie. I don't see any improvement there. And the fact that, again, Mark Trestman didn't think he was good enough to keep around to back up Ricky Ray, but now all of a sudden he's good enough to back up Darian Durant in Montreal, and good enough that we can just cast aside the bright young future that is Vernon Adams Jr. Eesh, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Garcia get a chance. I still think if you were to call him up right now, get Jeff Garcia on the horn and say, listen, come do something here. And you know what? We'll give you a full season. Let's see what a Jeff Garcia offense looks like. And based on that, that's only going to do great for your head coaching aspirations. And can only help improve this team. Because right now, with no OC or an OC that's too busy being a head coach or what exactly, trying to run the same five plays over and over again, it ain't working. It hasn't been working for a while. And it sure as hell is not going to keep on working. So I think what this team truly needs is a shot in the arm with a real offensive coordinator.
Right.
I don't think that's too much to ask for, especially if you want to give any sort of hope to these fans to come out to these games and just maybe hope that despite the fact that this is a truly, truly laughable Eastern Division, two of these four teams are going to make the playoffs. I think Ottawa right now, they're going to do just enough to win and they'll probably get another division title of it. After that, is it going to be Toronto? Is it going to be Montreal? God help us. Could it be Hamilton even? Like, have they figured out what needs to be done after all the hell that they've been going through this season? You think maybe they've kind of turned a corner? It's hard to say. It's only one win, but sometimes that's all it takes. That's all it took for us in 2014. One win turned into two. Two wins turned into three, and so on. So teams collapse all the time. Teams figure their shit out all the time. I don't see why this Alouettes team can't do that, but they have to have a real offense. They have to have a real game plan. They have to have someone that can truly take all of these offensive weapons and do something properly with them, because that's not happening right now. Right. It's not even coming close to happening right now. And something's got to give. And then you got to think about the future. Find someone that can be exciting, can deliver something different and foster that, just like you did with Noel Thorpe. People kind of knew what to expect with him, but I don't think people even really truly realized just what an impact he had on this team from the moment he was hired. This team's defense did a complete about face and became that defensive powerhouse for years to come. And only now is starting to slow down a little bit and starting to see some chinks in the armor. After essentially a 5-year run of that, that's nothing short of impressive. I think really there has to be some offensive genius out there somewhere that can do the exact same thing with this Montreal Alouettes football team. And I hope that this team, this organization, finds that player or that person sooner rather than later, because like you said, this is the third season in a row that we're 3-7 at this point, and it's not fun. It's not fun at all.
No, it is not. For what it is worth, since we just been talking infinite item here, just the game itself was horrible. We still have to at least mention it. You know, if there was any positives to the game, there really weren't any. It was Darian Durant being pulled. It was Darian Durant being pulled after he tries to throw into triple coverage and gets picked off. I mean, come on. BJ Cunningham led the team with 89 yards. On four,
89
on,
yards.
On four receptions, which is good. No, that's half decent. The problem is he's the only player who had that.
But again, that should be a bad night for BJ Cunningham. Like, this is a kid that should be easily cracking 100 yards plus every night and scoring one or two touchdowns. Like, that's just how talented he is. Like, that should be 89 yards should be on four carry or four catches should be an off night for him.
Yeah. By the way, it's going into next week's game. I am actually very surprised, considering the history that the Alouettes have in BC, that they are currently, according to Five Dimes, Cliff, they're only 7.5-point underdogs. It started off at 8.5, but they're 7.5-point underdogs with an over-under of 49.5 points.
Well, and was it since the year 2000, we've had three victories out in Vancouver? Two of them at BC Place?
Yeah, and one at Empire.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, there's of the three victories that the Alouettes have had, only two of them have come while playing at BC Place.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is typically guaranteed loss night for the Montreal Alouettes. And with it being a Friday night, game starts at 10:30 Eastern, or 10 o'clock Eastern, no, I'm sorry. I don't blame anyone who decides that they're going to just go out and party it up or go to bed early if you had a long day.
2015 under Higgins, and in 2010 under Mark Trestman. Mm-hmm. Since then, the only one before that was all the way back in the year 2000. In the year 2000. So, it's tough to even. And if anybody remembers my thing from, I think it was from last year. Did I mention it last year? I mentioned it before, where I may just tape this game. I've had so many bad memories of how poorly that this team has played in BC. I may just.
And who could blame you?
Let's put it this way, Cliff. Okay, the last five losses in BC, losses by 42, 33, 22, 36, and 11. So, you know, obviously it can't be the 42-point loss, that 43-1 debacle with AC in there.
Yeah, when you have Anthony Calvillo and Mark Trestman, and that's the best can do is a rouge.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
there's not much more positive at all. I'm trying to be as positive about this team as I can, and I feel for the guys over at, you know, Podski Wee Wee. I now know how the guys over at Piffles felt last year. We were going through it too, but at least we were able to get some half decent wins. But it's just like shrug shoulders.
No.
Or if we were to give an emoji, we were to give an emoji for how we currently feel about this team, what would your emoji be?
The poop emoji.
Oh, nice, nice. Mine, it'd be the meh emoji. It's like, how do you think about how do you feel about the L's? Meh.
Yeah. Gotta call a spade poop.
What, rainbow poop?
No, because that would imply that this team has color in it. Bland, runny dog poop.
You need to get the Dramamine out. No. See, if it's colored poop, it comes from a rainbow. It comes from a unicorn, you know, and they poop rainbows, you know. And, you know, unicorns, they're mythical beasts. So that means that they could exist. They may not exist. They may just be in your head. That really seems to be what the Alouettes are right now, you know, made up mythical beasts.
They are definitely mythical beasts. There's no question about that.
Who?
They're just not. They just don't have any horns.
Who poops? Runny rainbow. Here we go. Poops running rainbow. Before we finish this, we've got to talk about something positive, I guess, or something else. Al's league related. First,
well, one thing we talk about quickly is at least the Alouettes are trying to bolster the lineup. They did just add Xavier Fulton to the practice roster.
Yes.
For a team that's starting to reel a little bit now, like the injuries to this offensive line are starting to catch up, and
it is.
With Jovan Olafoye out of the lineup last week, I mean, that didn't do any favors. No matter how badly Darian Durant's been playing, you still got to have an offensive line to at least give you a fighting chance. And without Olafoye in the lineup, you saw it. I mean, Darian just got tuned right up. Drew Willey, too, I think still has an imprint of some of those defenders' numbers on his chest. Like, yeah, he was just getting run badly. So,
you know what's Xavier funny, Fulton, by the way, is that Durant missed, I think, nine passes on the night. I think that's what it was.
Felt like more.
But it was the same thing. It's the same thing for Ottawa. How does that happen? Trevor Harris, yeah. 32 of 41, and Durant was 12 of 21. Nine passes. Anyways, I digress. By the way, hopefully with some of these changes too, you know, it was nice to see Tequan Underwood back on the active roster, but yet he was behind Samuel Cement Hands Jaguar, which, and I'm guessing because of, they could have done it in such a way where he could have gotten a pass. I mean, I know George Johnson got some more passes, which was cool to see. But it says right here, three targets to Jaguar. How many catches, Cliff?
0.
I think they need to put Tyquan Underwood over him this week. And I think, sure, it may have been a ratio issue, but it really, can you explain to me real quick, if you have a Canadian in there, can you replace him with an American without making any major changes, just to have him catch or at least try play, or do you have to really fuck up the rosters?
I think you do, but I mean, like I said, there has to be a way to work around that. I mean, you got to have your you got to have at least your 7 starting Canadians. Again, you've got Tavon Campbell now, who can easily start in the secondary along with Mincy and with Henderson.
Yeah,
you got him in there. You got Dondre Wright lining up as your safety. That's 2 right there. That's 2 national starters. Your defensive line is practically all Canadian as it stands, with the exception of John Bowman. Again, George Johnson is a Canadian receiver, so you can have you might have to get creative, and I know this team isn't exactly a hotbed of creativity right now, but there has to be a way. And if that means you've got to sit Jaguar down or bump him down the depth chart, then do it, because he's really not bringing anything. I can make 0 catches too if you put me in the lineup, and guess what? I'm also Canadian, so this nonsense just can't fly. There has to be a way. You've got a talented receiver in Tyquan Underwood that's languishing.
Yeah.
So find a way. Like, if you got to put him in the lineup and knock Jaguar down, and if that means you got to wiggle and jiggle things around in the ratio, then do it. You got to find a way and make it happen.
I agree. Looking for something different from your snacks? Grab a bag of Bad Monkey Popcorn. Bad Monkey Popcorn is produced locally in Montreal in a number of mouth-watering flavors that will have your taste buds wanting more after just one kernel. Now available throughout Quebec in most major grocery stores, independent outlets, and selected cities across Canada. For more information, head to badmonkeypopcorn.com.
Hey folks, we appreciate your continued support of the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes over on Podbean. Just head to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music by searching the keywords Alouettes Flight Deck. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can shoot us an email, alouettespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening.
What about that nutball game yesterday in Hamilton?
Wow.
I mean, the rains came, 2-hour delay. You know, props to them for getting a last-second win, even though it was a miss by Toronto's kicker. So, Hirolau. I mean, it's congrats. You know, they got the win, you know, even though they had weird circumstances. You know, so a lot of fans are not very happy.
That's a tried and true fan base right there that have just been put through the ringer. Yeah. The past 10 days as far as coaching decisions and all sorts of other things swirling around, basically benching your superstar quarterback, working out essentially a never was in the NFL, and just have all these question marks swirling around the team more than anything else. I feel for the fans for the Tiger Cats, and the fact that they were able to gut out a win, and I'm sure a lot of cynics are going to say, well, the command center was doing extra special work to kind of screw Toronto over. At the end of the day, Toronto had their opportunities and just couldn't capitalize. Whereas Hamilton, give them props.
You scored 2 touchdowns in, was it 13 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
That helped.
That helps tremendously. Yeah. And again, that's what a concept, right? Taking advantage of every opportunity that's presented to you. Mm-hmm. My word, I wish more teams would do that. I just wish one team would do that.
And props to I was trying to think of a hashtag that we could come up for the commissioner and his pizza. It's pizza delivery. I can't think of anything. I was trying to come up with one. Start a trending hashtag here in the CFL and everybody here on the CFL podcast network.
Well, I tell you, as far as this commissioner goes, I mean, he's winning all sorts of brownie points with the fans, with the media, with the teams, just with everything he's doing. And the fact that the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Especially sports writers too. So I mean, if you go up to the press box and you're doling out slices of pizza, well, I think like I said, Randy Ambrosi has been doing all the right things so far, for the most part. this just makes a good thing even better. And the fact that he was able to just spread a little goodwill and just, you know, keep spirits up, because it had to have been boring. Like, I remember last year for the home opener in Winnipeg, I was there and there was a lightning delay.
You're right.
And that was long. I mean, like, you're standing, especially as for fans, you're just standing in the concourse, just waiting for that all clear. And it sucks for the media as well, because they're in the press box. They've got nothing to do. They got nothing to. So the fact that here comes the commissioner of the Football League and he's handing out slices of pizza, like, that's hilarious. That's the kind of thing you want to see. It just gets that sort of human element to things. Uh-huh. And just helps remind everybody, yeah, this is a kind of a wacky league. It's kind of it doesn't feel like a professional league at times. And I'm not saying this disparagingly. There are times where it just doesn't feel quite like, it doesn't have that cold industrial feel that most major leagues do. CFL is just a wacky creature all by itself. And when you see stuff like this, it just adds to the legend. It adds to the allure and just part of what makes this league absolutely fantastic. So props to Randy Ambrosi for doing that. And the fact that fans were getting behind it and the media was loving every second of it, because, hey, who doesn't love free food? Mm-hmm. I just think it was just a hilarious gesture, and it just helps break up the monotony of a 2-hour rain delay or a lightning delay, because that's rough. And props to the fans that stuck it out towards the end, and who could blame them? Like, they were probably tailgating at like noon, and this game just didn't seem like it was ever going to end. To the fans that stuck it out, my hat's off to you guys. I mean, that was pretty awesome, and very happy for the Hamiltonians that they finally got that first win. They finally get that monkey off their back. They sent Owen Packin. That's fantastic. So props to them. And even if they don't get another win this season, and I'm sure they will, but if they don't get another win this season, at least they can take a look at the week, the 10 days of pure hell that they were put through. And they came out of it at the end just a little bit better. And finally getting that win, that's tremendous. In fact, you know what? I say we give the Alouettes flight deck game ball to the fans in Hamilton, because nobody in the Alouettes this past Thursday deserved a game ball, but the fans in Hamilton that stuck it out through that, all the craziness, everything that went about these past few days, they deserve props. So I say we give them the game ball.
Sure. Okay. Why not? Why not? Is it made out of pizza?
A pizza ball.
Game That'd ball be, made out of pizza. And lastly, before we finish up this week, what is it much ado about nothing when it comes to the story that's come out of Saskatchewan about the players just deciding to fake their injuries or embellish their injuries or whatnot to slow down the Winnipeg attempt at
a hurry up offense?
At a hurry up offense, yeah.
I'd say it's, again, without knowing for certain, because, again, of course, the player is going to say, oh, no, I was really hurt. And sometimes it's done with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And, again, without me being in Saskatchewan to really see the players and know for sure if they were hurting or not, that's speculation at best. And, of course, I can understand why Winnipeg fans would be salty about it, and the fact that, I mean, what they should be really upset about is the fact that they got 24 points hung up on them in the first quarter.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, this, like I said, this Saskatchewan team is no joke anymore. I mean, I can't help but look at Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. They've gone through some hardships. They did a bunch of wholesale cleanings of their own and had to endure some losing for a little while. But now both of these teams really have turned a corner. And again, Alouettes fans, I know it's frustrating right now seeing the team that we love in such disarray, but just look at what Hamilton or look at what Winnipeg and Saskatchewan have been the past couple of seasons and look where they're at now. And these are two teams that are trending upward. So sometimes you gotta be patient. It's easier said than done, but sometimes you just gotta be a little patient. You gotta trust that whoever's in charge will be making the right moves to get things back on track, because it wasn't easy. They had to trust was it Chris Jones? And he did a lot of very unpopular things, just like what Cavis Reed did.
Oh, he did a lot of sketchy stuff too, though. But anyways,
he did. He's no saint. I guarantee, and I'm sure Chris Jones will be the first person to tell you that he's not a saint.
No, he won't. No, he won't.
But I mean, as far as whether these Riders players were quote unquote faking it, I mean, even if they were, That's gamesmanship.
I say we've seen it happen before. We've seen it happen before. It's any advantage that you can get. It's like what the Calgary Stampeders did earlier this year when it came to, if it was true, when it comes to running certain routes, just so they could try to get a pass interference call and could, you know, could challenge it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, the CFL sort of put a kibosh on that. So I think it's really much to do about nothing. I really do. Because as you said, we've seen it happen before. You've seen coaches go, get down, get down, get down. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of that Winnipeg-Saskatchewan rivalry has been going on for decades now, and with no sign of stopping. Like, this just adds another log on to the fire. And I guarantee you, wait, this Saturday when those two teams play each other, I mean, it's going to be insane, because Winnipeg Stadium is sold. The game's sold out. It's going to be rocking. And I can only imagine the noise that's going to be just on TV. I'm sure it's going to be ridiculous. I can only imagine what it's going to be like live in the stadium. But watch and see. See which team has the momentum and see how things go. See if Winnipeg doesn't come out firing on all cylinders and hangs like 20 points on the Riders. And then it'll be the other way around. Then everything will be all sunshine and roses in Winnipeg. And then people will be whining in Saskatchewan for any number of reasons. And that's just how it is. That's what a rivalry is. You always think your team is going to get screwed. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. It is what it is. So, yes, just, as you were saying, a lot of this is much ado about nothing. It's gamesmanship. It's taking advantage of situations where you can. And at the end of the day, Saskatchewan played a much better game than what Winnipeg did. That's it. You just got to own that. If you're the Blue Bombers, these guys, you know what? You guys were the man that day. That's all there is to it. We got run. We got owned, whatever you want to call it. We'll just come back twice as hard the next game. And I guarantee, I think Winnipeg, they've got the talent. This team is definitely for real. And I definitely think that the Blue Bombers are going to come out hot as a pistol. And I think they're going to make a major impact on the Rough Riders this coming Saturday. So I'm excited. If anything, all this does is just hype up an already hyped up machine even more. And can't get much better than that. I mean, you want excitement. You want a reason to watch Canadian football. The Banjo Bowl is always an exciting affair, especially when you got two teams that are as evenly matched and so well coached as both of these teams are. I think it's going to make for a very exciting football game.
Yeah, should be good. And we can only hope for better things next show. Fingers crossed. Not fingers crossed. But we will be back to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Alouettes' next matchup in BC this coming Friday. And then, yay, Sunday game. Yay! And we have a visitor, and maybe we can get him on the show next week.
Oh, I bet we can. I bet we can.
I think we should do that. Even though it's not Saskatchewan-related, there's a teaser.
Oh, there you go. A little cross-promotion. There we go.
So we will talk to you guys next week. We appreciate everything appreciate you guys listening to us. Just get a lot of stuff off of our chest this week. So again, we do appreciate it. So
I gotta say, having a podcast is so much cheaper than a therapist. Just get all your aggression, all your anger out, and just belt it out, and you feel so much better afterwards. So you know what, folks, if you're angry, you're upset at your lot in life, just start a podcast. Just start a podcast and start screaming and having lunatics come in and censoring you, and just you feel so much better afterwards. You really do.
Exactly. All right. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.